Part 1. Dead Birds and Rich Men. Chapter 1. The Trials of Alfred Russel Wallace. Alfred Russel Wallace stood on the quarterdeck of a burning ship, 700 miles off the coast of Bermuda, the planks heating beneath his feet, yellow smoke curling up through the cracks. Sweat and sea spray clung to him as the balsam and rubber boiled and hissed below deck. He sensed the flames would soon burst through. The crew of the Helen raced frantically around him, heaving belongings and supplies into the two small lifeboats that were being lowered down the ship's flank. The lifeboats had been baking in the sun above deck for so long that the wood had contracted. Water began to seep in as soon as they hit the ocean. The cook bolted off in search of corks to plug the gaps, while panicked crewmen searched for oars and a rudder. Captain John Turner hurriedly bagged up his chronometer and nautical charts as his men lowered casks filled with raw pork and bread and water into the boats. They had no idea how long they might drift before being rescued, if they were to be rescued at all. Thousands of miles of sea spread in every direction. 4 years of being soaked to the bone beneath the ceaseless downpour of the Amazonian rainforest, with malaria, dysentery, and yellow fever tugging at his mortal coil, and the element that would bring Wallace's mission to ruin was not water, but fire. It must have seemed a terrible dream. The small menagerie of monkeys and parrots he'd painstakingly shielded from the damp cold were now sprung from their cages, scurrying and flapping away from the flames to the bowsprit that poked like a needle nose from the prow of the 235-ton Helen. Wallace stood there, squinting through wire-rimmed glasses at the panicked birds as chaos engulfed him. He was so depleted of vitality, leached by vampire bats and inflamed by the chigo fleas that had burrowed under his toenails to deposit their eggs, that he wasn't thinking clearly. All his notebooks, containing years' worth of research on the wildlife along the ink-black Rio Negro, were in his cabin. As the fire danced toward the parrots, below deck it lapped at the edges of cartons filled with the true bounty of his expedition into the Amazon, the skins of nearly 10,000 birds, each meticulously preserved. There were river tortoises, pinned butterflies, bottled ants and beetles, skeletons of anteaters and manatees, sheaves of drawings illustrating the transformation of strange, unknown insects, and an herbarium of Brazilian fauna that included a 50-foot leaf of the Jupate palm. The notebooks, skins, and specimens represented a career-establishing body of research. He'd left England an unknown land surveyor with only a few years of formal education, and now, at the age of 29, he was on the brink of a triumphant return as a bona fide naturalist, with hundreds of unidentified species to name. If the flames were not extinguished, he would return a nobody. The eighth of nine children, Wallace was born in 1823 in the Welsh village of Llambadoc, on the west bank of the River Usk, which ribbons south from the Black Mountains of Mid Wales into the estuary of the Severn River. 13 years earlier, Charles Darwin had been born on the banks of the Severn, 90 miles north. But it would be decades before the two men's lives collided in one of the most astonishing coincidences in scientific history. After a series of foolish investments by his father put tuition beyond reach, Wallace was withdrawn from school at 13 and sent off to his older brother to work as a surveyor's apprentice. The arrival of the steam engine, which precipitated a railway boom that saw thousands of miles of tracks laid across the British Isles, meant that surveyors were in high demand. While other boys his age translated Virgil and studied algebra, surveying turned the countryside into a classroom for young Wallace, who scampered through valleys and forests, learning the principles of trigonometry as he helped map out future train routes. As the earth was carved open, he had his first lessons in geology as vanished species like belemnites, fossilized 66 million years ago, were revealed in the deep history of the earth. The precocious boy devoured introductory works on mechanics and optics and located the satellites of Jupiter through a telescope he'd fashioned out of a paper tube, an opera glass, and an optician's lens. Wallace's informal education happened in the midst of